Hey everyone, welcome back to Bros and Shows. I am your host, Josiah, aka Mahler67, and with me, as always, you know I got my buddy, I got my pal, I got my brother Austin. Austin, how you doing today?
Not too bad. How about everyone out in the Twitch world and everyone that's listening on, you know, where you listen to podcasts on?
Mm-hmm. Hope you're doing good.
Yep.
That's the takeaway. Mm-hmm. Of everything. Hope you're doing good.
Yep.
Austin, how's your week?
Yeah. It's been pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good so far?
Bad. Yeah.
Not playing a lot of V-Rising?
Not as much as I wish I could. You know, I really didn't do too much this week so far. You know, a lot of things have been going on in my life, so I kind of just been, you know, staying at home most of the time, and I'm reading and doing a whole bunch of other stuff where, you know, it's just repairing the house and getting stuff ready, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's how it goes. Be careful in this weather though, because it's getting hotter and hotter out. Like, have you noticed that?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like 85 degrees out right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in an air conditioned room, but
mm-hmm.
I was walking home today, I was like, oh, it's a little warm. It's not like quite so warm that I'm sitting here sweating all over the place, but it's the uncomfortable warm. Yeah. So be careful. If you're working out there, like, ooh, make sure to take some water breaks and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
Yes.
Bro, I got my Steam Deck.
Oh yeah.
I've already found some issues with it. It's not terrible. It's not like horrible stuff. It's if the game is not Steam Deck compatible, it will not even save cloud save information.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple games I'm like, this should work just fine on the Steam Deck. And it's like, oh, it's not cloud synced, so you don't have access to your save.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to get Little Misfortune to work, and I lost my save if I do it on the Steam Deck. But Persona 4 Golden works on the Steam Deck, so I was like, okay, I'll download this game. I download it, logged in the game, and guess what I found out? Mm. I was literally 20 minutes away from the end of the game.
Oh man,
I was at the point in the Persona game where you're going back and like talking to all the people you've made good social links throughout the whole game, and I completed that, and then it's like, and that's the end of the game, thanks for playing. And I was like, I don't remember fighting the final boss. I did that so long ago, I forgot. So I just, you know, downloaded 10 gigabytes worth of a game that I guess I could new game plus it and just start over and see what it's like. But I don't know, I'm trying to find something to play during my work hours that is pretty simple and easy to do. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, Austin.
Yeah.
All right, Austin. You ready to go into it? You just want to dive right into it?
Let's just dive into it.
You know, let's just take on this mission, Austin. This week, our mission was to watch Spy X Family. I saw about this anime. We don't do a lot of animes very often. And one of the reasons why is because I'm a big animation fan and anime fan. And I don't want to just spam animes to you the whole time.
Yeah.
Plus, I also, one of the issues with anime is that some of the good ones that I like to watch don't transfer very well for the show. You know, that it's the same thing with you and JoJo Bizarre Adventure. But this was one of the shows that I'm like, it's so new that it only has one season. We could probably do this. And so I threw it out there. Never seen it yet. I never saw it whenever I bought out to it. So I didn't know what it was about outside of knowing that the dad was a spy and the mom was, I thought she was another spy. Like, it was supposed to be a, what's that movie? Where it's like two spies, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
And Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. I thought it was supposed to be something like that, but with a kid. So I went in pretty blind in the same way. So Austin, I have to ask, what did you think of Spy X Spy?
Okay, I'm gonna be really blunt here. I'm not really a fan of anime too much. Now, there is some anime that I do love, and there's some things that I will watch.
Mm-hmm.
There is a couple things that bother me with anime, And this show hit a lot of those notes with me. And I'm not a big fan of this anime. Like, I don't mind it. There was great parts in it. Like, there was really good parts. But this is like a one watch for me. Like, I'm never going to watch this again, I don't think. I feel that the problem I have is there's one big problem I hate with anime. And that is the cute, neurotic, idiot, like, kid. Like, nothing against Anya, but Anya, to me, drove me nuts. Like, she hit like a key of just annoying me like a lot of the time. And I always hate certain shows where they have these certain like secrets and they don't tell each other because it would improve their outcome to everything. And I understand why, it's part of the story, but it drove me nuts the whole time.
So this is interesting because you're not wrong. Anya, depending on your perception and your perspective, could be very annoying. I found her very endearing personally. I actually loved this anime. I thought it was fantastic. Because I very much viewed the dad as like a almost Vash the Stampede like character, where you know, he has like the funny parts to him, but he overthinks things or says stuff or whatever. Same with the wife as well. The thing that I find interesting about your statement about Anya being like stupid and them like not talking out stuff, the whole concept is that the dad is a spy for Westalia or whatever it's called, or something like that, and the mom is a assassin from the Wenlia or whatever the other place, Eastlia, whatever. I don't even remember
East
what
Libria,
the East Libria. Libria, yeah. Whatever it is. They're a spy for that. So as much as they would like to tell each other, Austin, the issue is that if either of them would find out, they're not, it's not like a compatible find out, you know?
Well, but the thing is like, the problem that I have with it though is what it does is it leaves this thing on the table so much where things that could have been solved by just saying it would have left that, and it kind of felt like some filler was there a lot. And I felt like a couple episodes this season of this anime had a lot of filler going on instead of initiating to like the point of it. Now, were there great episodes? Yeah, I enjoyed some of the episodes, but I also felt that like for a 25 episode anime, it was a little bit too long for the point that needed to happen. Just because, you know, I can understand a 12 episode anime, fine. But a 25 episode anime to get to one single point that they've been hitting on since, was it like episode 4? Where they're trying to infiltrate and get contact with is like an ambassador or something like that.
Yeah, he's the chairman of the neutral people or whatever they're called.
Yeah, and so like, I felt like a lot of the episodes were very just, hey, filler. And I think maybe that's what hit me, but I can understand why people like this anime. I totally understand why people like this anime. It's just for me, some of the characters really got me to a point where I was like this the whole time. Like, I remember I watched the rest of it today, and I sat in the chair over here and I watched it on my computer monitor because I just got a soundbar for the computer. And there were so many times where I was like, oh man, I have to take a break from this. I have to take a break from this. And the thing is maybe the reason why people love it so much is it's not a binge show. Like, it's not, I don't think it's a binge worthy show. Like, you're not going to just watch it all unless you're like a huge fan of it. But I do respect,
I binged the crap out of this, man.
Yeah, see, I didn't do it.
I watched one day. I was like, okay, I downloaded all these episodes. I'll watch it. Watch 12 episodes that day. No, man, I was like, man, this show.
I was struggling really hard.
So
now,
you know what I think could possibly be, right? Is that I looked at this show like almost kind of like Steven Universe-ish, like. Like, I didn't go in the show expecting or wanting a story. I went in with each episode to be its own thing. And so a lot of the times where you're like, it's a filler episode, my brain was like, it's a sitcom. That's what the show is. It's a sitcom. And it's a sitcom of, like, I'm a spy. She's an assassin. She's a psychic. What crazy hijinks will we get into? And how can we still make it seem like there's an overarching story? And that's why I very much thought that this anime was. So I had no issue with the whole, like, filler episode, because personally, episode, like, shows like that, every episode's filler. You know, yeah. Like, thinking like Friends. I thought that's very close to, like, why I would watch as Friends, mm-hmm. where it's just like, what is happening in this episode, not what's the story? And I was really concerned that they were going to end the season, because I didn't know how it ended or where it ended, that they were going to get to the point where they got to the person and, like, the mission's complete. And I was kind of like, well, I don't want it to be like that. I want it to be like a sitcom with a bunch of episodes and everything of that sort. And I want to enjoy it. And that's what ended up happening. I was that. I think that's one of the reasons why I put so much time into watching this. It's because I viewed it like that way. I'm like, it's a sitcom. And I think also, the characters are endearing to me.
one of the things that's also a little upsetting about the show, yep. that I think can confuse, like, a normal viewer that's not a viewer of anime, is how things are portrayed. Like, in so, like, a lot of this story is being told by, like, three different people, and, you know, and you have the dad that's an agent, then you have the mom that's an assassin, but the girl Anya reads minds. So the thing is like, she's reading a dialogue of her own, and she's also reading other people's dialogue too, mm-hmm. that they're thinking. So what happens is, what confuses me sometimes is, I don't know when someone's talking and when someone's actually reading their mind, because other people even start kind of reading, yeah. like their own mind, and then the story just gets weird.
So you say that, and I actually think that's a pretty good constructive yeah. criticism, because there was a point where I was sitting there, especially when it comes to Anya and the one kid Desmond or whatever, there's times where he'll say stuff in his head, like, you can easily tell it's in the head because the face doesn't move and yeah. it's more echoey or whatever.
Yeah.
My opinion, how I kind of, like, played it in my head, is that anytime someone talks in their head, that's Anya reading it.
Yeah.
Like, we're not actively hearing people say stuff.
Well, I think one of the confusing parts that I had was the episode where, her brother shows up to meet him for the first time.
Oh, yeah, Yuri? Yeah, yeah.
And Yuri, like, it's weird because, like, how I, you know, like, I've always been a fan of film, like, so when certain things happen, it doesn't click with me, and I'm like, that just looks stupid to me. And there was a scene when they were about to kiss, and mm-hmm. she got really red faced, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna kiss. And then her brother starts drinking a whole bunch of wine, and he's like yelling, and I was like, what family is this? Is this, like, dysfunctional bear family? Like, you know, like.
So what's funny to me, right, is I'm kind of there, right? Because there's this theme in, like, Japanese media that I've seen, where it's this idea of, like, borderline, like, endearing, I guess is how they would call it, like, incest, and I yeah. don't like it. Because, like, Yuri's like, I'm going to marry you when I'm older, and people will, like, it's like, oh, take that nicely or whatever, like, ha ha ha.
I cringed so hard, though. I was like,
but here's the thing, right? I could understand that from a little kid who doesn't understand why that's wrong, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the idea that he continues to hold this later. Yeah. That's where I'm like, ugh, I don't like seeing this.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I mentioned how I was doing Persona 4, right? At the end of the game, there's a scene where you're talking with your cousin, Nanako, who's, like, this little child. And if you did her full social link and her dad's together, she's like, big bro, I'm going to marry you when I'm older. And you play it off as a joke. And the father, like, says, like, only if he's available when you get older, ha ha, laugh. And there's, like, a context thing that says, and it's just like, you don't really can't tell if he's joking.
Yeah.
And my brain went, I don't care that I'm your cousin or not. Like, one, I'm your cousin, I'm related by blood. Ain't no. Maybe it's a Western thing that we've just grown up with that they're more okay with. I don't know. Two, she actively calls you big brother, and I think that hits the same beats as in that thing, and that's why they did that. And I was like, so I don't like that. Why is this a thing?
I had a cringe part like that. So Dexter, I only watched Dexter because John Lithgow was in it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to watch Dexter. Mm-hmm. There's a part at the end of the series of Dexter where Beth, his little sister, but he's an they're adopted, but little sister, decides, whatever, I'm in love with him. I'm going to go confess my love to him. And that's when she finds out he's a killer.
Yeah, of course.
The thing is when she even thought that, I was like, oh, that's still like that cringe that I feel. Or I'm like, doesn't matter. You guys called each other brother and sister the whole time. And you guys had a brother and sister relationship. And then all of a sudden it's just good. And it made me cringe. And like when this happened, I was just like, there it is. The cringe that I don't like. And there was also a couple parts in that episode too where I was like, oh my gosh, stop. And it was the part where she like hits him mm-hmm. and he goes flying and hits the roses. I also had a problem with the roses because there was too many and that vase would have fell over.
That was obviously a joke. That was obviously a joke.
I know, it's a joke.
Here's the thing.
I can't stand some action parts. That it's like how you've had it before, where like you don't know certain power levels of certain things.
Yeah.
And so like when this happened, where she smacked him and then smacked him again, I was like,
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm going holding criticism over your head.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to hear you talk about crap when it comes to animation, attacking, and everything like that. When you're a fan of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
That's true, but I'm only a fan
JoJo
of JoJo.
Does that all the time.
Oh, no, I get it. And the thing is I realize that JoJo is a different breed. The only reason I love JoJo is because of the ridiculousness that happens, and I get out of that realm of that. But when you're trying to take an anime that you're trying to be a little serious dramatically with, and there's no, like, real powers anyone has, except for, like...
Except you know, for, you know, like, strength. Every character has but a superpower.
There is a part of the season that reminded me of JoJo really well, and I laughed the whole time. And I was like, "This is ridiculous!" It was the tennis, the underground tennis, like
oh yeah, with all the gunners and whatnot. Yeah,
I was like, "This is so JoJo!" Like, you know, I was like, "How does no one like?" I was like, "I get it," but it was so redunculous. Like, I was like, "Oh my gosh, underground tennis tournament!"
It's okay. The whole time during the one bomber episode with the.
The dogs?
Yeah, with the dogs.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
All I could think to myself the whole time I was watching it is I'm like, this dog looks like he's about to say Edward. Like, that's what this dog's about to say the whole time.
Yeah. Yep.
I do... Austin, I get your criticisms. I get it. Personally, I think that they do a good job of showing... skills and power levels and everything of that sort throughout the whole thing. You know, like, we know for a fact from the first episode that the mom has freakishly powerful, like, she's freakishly powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, when Anya clamps onto the one dude and says, "Help, mom, I'm being kidnapped," and she runs up and she kicks him so hard that he penetrates the top floor, it's like, okay, she's overpowered. You know, she has some type of superpower of some way, like, however she attained it, it's out of the question. All that matters is that she does ungodly things. Or when she kicks terrorist, and he goes bouncing all over the place. I'm like, it's obviously anime to, like, make it jokingly funny, because I definitely view this as a comedy. I don't view this as serious at all. I think the only serious character is Lloyd. And he's the grounding character. He's meant to be the character who thinks reasonably and rationally, and the rest of the world's kind of chaotic.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm more okay with it.
Well, I think the only character I liked in this whole series was Lloyd. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care for a lot of the other characters. And there is another anime trope that I hate so much, and I saw it so many times. It's when Anya and her stupid eye thing, where she's like, and it does, like, the twinkleness. It drives me nuts. Well, it's always it always will. Like, it's just something.
So I remember when this anime came out, people were obsessed with Anya's faces. Because the artist did it intentionally. Like, they took her face and over-exaggerated it beyond the exaggeration mark. Like, you know that one face whenever she got told to smile and she had, like, the squint and it's like, all right. And it's like, you're a freak. Like, you're freaking us out. That was supposed to be the first of, like, Anya has social issues because she goes too far. I enjoyed all of her faces. I thought a lot of her faces were genuinely hilarious to me, especially the one where it's just, like, big circles with a single dot in it, and she's like, oh. It reminds me of the, I don't know if you remember, like, SpongeBob, the one episode where he has, like, the dot, he's, like, shaking back and forth, he's like, I don't even remember what it's from, but
I would be okay with it from time to time, but it was like almost every episode there was at least two of those faces.
Yeah.
And it stops for like a good second or two, and I think it slows it down for me because she's like, ah.
Yeah.
And she does that and I'm like,
oh my, I think the issue is, Austin, is that you just have trouble with traditional animes. Because I definitely think that this anime is different in the form of like its story and what's happening in the story.
Yeah.
But the animation, like the hangups you're having on it seem to be with the actual genre itself and not with like what happens and everything. Because like the whole like facial things of like Anya is like, that's a common thing in anime to have kids go extreme on their emotions and like the little glaring eyes and whatnot, extremes. You even see it in the mom occasionally, and she has it, and it's like those are just animation styles and choices and decisions every time they do it. Mm-hmm. And that's just a common thing in anime. I think you get that in any anime you watch nowadays. I even think it's a thing in JoJo's, but
yeah,
I just don't think you see it as much because you're paying attention more to the story than the animation itself, which is fine. Like it's fine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crap that happens in JoJo's.
So past all that, mm-hmm, I wasn't a fan of this anime, but there were some great things that I did like about this anime. And what I'll say is, the episode that actually reminded me of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure a lot was the episode where they were doing the application process for Eden School. I thought that was a really good episode because I loved how they were doing the applications where like people had to do certain things leading up to the application where like, you know, I laugh so hard when it's like, we brought a change of clothes. It's like, that's so elegant. You know, they brought a change of clothes. And then the next one's like, oh, you can come back and do your application process. There's no need. We have another change of clothes. That's like,
we predicted this. The funny thing is that character, the grandfather like character, the headmaster guy, you know, mm-hmm, I actually thought he reminded me of, mm-hmm, was Joseph Joestar from season 2 of JoJo.
Yeah, that's exactly
where he's like, oh, like, you know, like that's what I was thinking the whole time I was watching it. So I'm I can see that connection.
That was a good episode. The episode also too where Lloyd takes the family to the castle.
And he tells
all the agents. I thought that was really fun. I enjoyed that episode. I also enjoyed the episode where Anya like did like this puzzle and she gave it to all of her friends.
Oh yeah, the code.
And then the code, the one guy that works for Lloyd thought it was like a love letter and like ended up like showing up, and but her alarm went off like late, and I was like, ah, that's funny. It was weird, but it was cute and I thought it was fun. But there was a lot of things that, you know, I just didn't like about it. But there was some great nods to espionage films in this anime. The 007 theme song was played twice. Mm-hmm. No, it was like multiple times. Every time it was just done by a flute and they changed the last note, but you could tell it was the 007 theme if you were a fan of that. Also too is the jokes about how tracking devices work, and there's a part where he has a listening device and he puts it on her collar.
Mm-hmm.
So actually in reality, a lot of people used to complain about that because, you know, like people in like old, you know, like James Bond films would like attach it to a car or like, you know, do like these weird things. But what's great about this is they actually got it right where you have to be so close that you can hear them, because most people put them in their pockets or anything like that. And like most agents that like most spies that would talk about that was like, no, you need to have full contact. Instead of being in a pocket, you need it close to their head, so that you could listen. And I thought that was a pretty cool thing. How the disguises work are funny because it reminds me of Game of Thrones so much with the whole face thing.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is that I will say is that a lot of the times when Lloyd had like a face on or whatever, you could instantly look in and be like, I think that's Lloyd. I think that's Lloyd. But then there was be other times where he looks completely different and you just rip off his face and it's like, yeah, there's no way you could have told. You know?
Yeah.
And it was,
the thing is, it's like, certain things I actually caught on with before it happened. When I found out that she was, Anya was accepted to Eden, and they were like, oh, she's going to have to do it academically. I was like, well, that's easy. Just cheat. You know, I was like, this little girl is going to read people's minds and read the right people in their class, or read the, you know, if the teacher's doing it. I was like, oh, the teacher might be like going over the test or something. And she just gets the answer, which I was correct. But then I wasn't correct. And I liked the little twist that they did where a certain moon does not allow her powers to work.
Yeah,
and it happens like stops during the powers. Midterms. Yeah, and I like how Lloyd went to go break in and find those, like change it, and then he realized that she barely just passed by herself. And I thought that was pretty cool because you learn that she actually learned. And, you know, we got to see a lot of the learning thing too, because, like, you know, the fractions. And she was like, it's two and eight bullets.
One eight bullets.
You know, she was so, like a demonic
you know what
girl.
I thought was going to happen? I thought once they found out that she learned things through the TV show, I thought Lloyd was going to get a hold of his like spy network to infiltrate the TV show to start putting out educational episodes for what she was learning that week.
Oh, so it'd be like, oh, what's it called? Subliminal messaging.
Exactly. Like, basically make it where she just learns from the TV.
That's probably what he does. That's exactly what he
does. I mean, that seems exactly what's going to happen. Like, the funny thing is, like, I definitely view this show as a sitcom. And I think that's why I enjoy it so much. I'm not looking at it as being like, when is this going to happen? When are they going to finish things? Because in my head, I'm like, it's so obvious what's going to happen in the end, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a point where those two find out about each other. They have to go kill each other, or she gets told to kill him.
Or they're going to fall in love. Right?
Like, well, no, that's definitely going to They're going to fall in love, have to kill each other, choose not to kill each other, and turn against their organizations to it. Yeah. And I'm like, what's going to probably happen is Anya will fall in love with Damon, and Damon will fall in love with her, which he is already kind of doing now. And they're going to be the uniting force behind the two states getting back together, like staying together, that's going to be a thing.
You can kind of see a turn with Lloyd anyways, like falling in love with her because the one agent that shows up,
Nightfall,
like, is totally in love with Lloyd. But then
she's obsessed.
Like, she's like crazy obsessed about him. You know, and they worked really well together in the underground tennis tournament, you know.
Top tier.
But top tier stuff. But, you know, overall, I kind of, you know, you can see it being played out, you know, like that. You're just like, oh, it's going to be like this. They're going to fall in love, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and so I'm like, that's why I don't view it as a what will happen, and more of like each episode is just an enjoyable episode that I could watch on its own and have no issue. But, I mean, that is something that we always talk about. I tend to like episodic shows much more than anything else. I very much viewed this as episodic, even though, like, each episode kind of continued. There was a point I accidentally skipped an episode. I didn't realize it because I was watching it on my phone at work. And so I had to go back and rewatch it. And when I rewatched it, I was like, I'm enjoying this episode even though it's out of sync. Like, I don't care. Yeah. Like, it's just a fun episode about, like, making stupid paper mache animals, and the two have to work together in order to do it. And I'm like, solid, great, good. I do think that I think the one thing I'm going to say that's going to happen in the show, like later on, we're gonna find out that Damien's dad, the guy that she's supposed to like kill, we're gonna find out he headed up the research that created Anya. Mm-hmm. And we're going to learn that he's psychic.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to make him big bad. And I think what's going to happen, right, is that he's going to be psychic. He's going to know Lloyd's a spy because Lloyd just says everything in his head. He doesn't know that, like, telepaths exist. And he's going to see that. He's going to know. And then he's going to hire an assassin to kill Lloyd. And the assassin's going to be his wife, because he's never met his wife yet. He doesn't know who his wife is. Shopkeeper doesn't know her name. He just calls her the red, whatever her code name is. And so I'm like, that's how they're going to fight and find out each other. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, he's going to get an assassin contract put out on her. She's going to see that's him. Fight over this idea of killing her own husband, all that stuff. And then things are going to think. I'm also interested in how the dog plays a role. I assume it's in this from the same, like...
I actually have a theory on the dog, though.
Okay.
Because there's a scene with the dog when the dog, like, kind of helps her escape from that. And I really think those dogs aren't real dogs. I think... I don't know. I'm weirded a little bit because I did see, like, a shot of this. And I kind of was like... Huh, that's kind of suspicious. I actually think the dogs are mechanical. They're actually machines. Because there's a scene where it shows like the eyes of the dog in that episode. And it's like got this RoboCop type looking screen in his eyes. And I'm like, this looks like this dog's an android. Not a real dog. It's just maybe weird, but I think so. Like, I
mean,
know.
In this show, it's 100% possible.
Well, she also states, she was like, oh, you can see the future. And I'm like,
yeah, you didn't get that?
Yeah.
You didn't get that? Kinda, that was the whole thing about him. Like, we saw whenever we first get introduced, before we even see the dog, that the dog has this vision of him with Anya in them.
Yeah.
He hasn't even met them yet. So that's him seeing the future. And then whenever Anya reads his mind, he sees the future again of them all together. And then whenever they escape and she looks into his mind, she sees a future that Lloyd dies because of the bomb.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh no, can we change the future? And then they go off, they change the future, and it's like, we can change the future now. Like, now we know that the future isn't set in stone, OP, we can change stuff.
OP couple there.
I think
he ended up destroying the penguin though, and Lloyd had to repair it, you know. Yeah, do you remember that part?
No, I don't remember that part. I remember the penguin episode when they go to the aquarium.
There's a part where like the dog starts getting jealous and destroys the penguin, and
the stuffed animal. Sorry, my bad.
Okay. Stuffed animal. Yeah.
I was thinking of the penguin episode where they're getting the USB out of the throat.
There was a guest cameo, a voice actor that I hit the nose on. And I had to look it up right away. And they did not credit her, but she was in it. But the voice of Bart Simpson was in that episode. The aquarium episode. The part where he goes up and tries to order a coffee, and then you come to find out that's like...
the woman behind it? Yeah.
That's Nancy Cartwright. I was like, that sounds like Nelson Muntz. And I looked it up, and it said she wasn't credited, but she was part of a voice cast. And I was like, okay, that's the only thing they have on her with that. I tried to look it up on like the credits and stuff, and there was nothing for her. Because it was just like, I think it was like three lines. But she does a lot of voice acting.
She did a handful of lines then, if that's her. Because there was a whole episode with her.
Yeah. So it was kind of cool, like, seeing that. That, and like... The penguin episode was pretty funny because I laughed pretty hard out loud, even though it was like kind of like ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
When he starts feeding all the fish, he just like, you know, the guy's like, "This,
it's like, how can he be? He did everything and so quickly."
Oh my gosh, it was over.
So the one thing I'll say is like, there was a lot of scenes and episodes in it that made me hysterical laugh. There was a lot of scenes and episodes that actually made me kind of tear up a little bit. I don't know why. Anytime I see like the whole concept of like when anytime Anya would like start thinking that she was going to be like thrown away because of her powers, and that like Lloyd doesn't care about her and like Lloyd would think stuff, that got me, because you never want to have that type of situation. Or, like, the same thing with Lloyd and all of them just having, like, the same issues. And they don't realize that this family is probably the best thing for them. Like, that is definitely something that kind of hit me occasionally with that. When it comes to, like, the comedy itself, though, I really enjoyed Anya through most of it. I think probably the only thing that started off as annoying and then became endearing to me was her mispronouncing stuff. Because I kept getting confused if their last name was Forgers or Holgers or however it's said. And I'm just like, wait, what is it? And then I realized, oh, she has like, she can't say the words. Like, that's what's happening here. Or like Utin. Like, I'm like, okay, like, I get it. She's a kid, so on and so forth. I think the thing I enjoyed most about Anya's character, though, personally, is that because she can read minds, she's almost like a fourth wall breaking character. Because she's reacting to things that are happening in the scene the same way we would react if we were over the top, you know? Like the whole, like, that she realizing that the two of them were spies and they were angry with each other, and she was like, oh, they're fighting type deal thing. I'm like, yeah, I get, like, she's like our fourth wall breaker, and we're able to understand and see the world more through her eyes. I liked it for that reason. Like, I liked her character for that reason. I think my only character critique would be the mom. And it's personality-wise and everything, I love. It very much reminds me of Vash the Stampede. I think I've mentioned it a couple times with her and Lloyd. She is closer to Vash than anything else. This, like, carefree, happy-go-lucky person. But when it comes to her, like, a serious topic, she becomes very serious. Same thing with Vash. The issue I had is that we spent so much time with Lloyd, seeing him doing other experiments. We don't spend any time with her. We, like, she goes on one mission and we don't even watch it. She just goes off and she, like, cleans her blades and that's the end of it. I'm like, I want to see more of what she does, you know? Like, give her some screen time. Like, don't make it that her whole story is just her at home with Anya or out about with Anya. Like, let's see her be the assassin person more and more. That was my biggest thing. Though you mentioned the reference to 007. There was just a lot of references to spy things. Like, Anya was dressed up as Sherlock whenever she was going on the shadowing
dad.
The
dad shadowing thing.
Which, like, that was funny. I enjoyed that. I also love that they do a lot of the classic switcheroos, or where you think something's going to get revealed and then it's just like you overthought what this person was capable of. Like, whenever she's writing all the stuff and he's like, oh no, he's going to see all the all the stuff about the spy. And then she opens and he's like, oh my gosh. And you're like, oh. And it's like, it's intangible. I can't even see what the heck this says. And it's like, oh yeah, she's bad at writing. Okay. Yeah. Forgot. Shouldn't expect that much from Anya, you know? And it's little things like that I find endearing. I kind of like the show for that reason. And I understand your criticism, Austin. I understand that. I think what that tells me is that you won't like traditional animes in any sense of the words. Like, especially animes in the last, I would say, 20 years. Because a lot of the animation styles that was done in this has been propagated from stuff that happened in the 20s. Like, you know, you say the whole sparkling eye things. That happened all the time in Trigun. And I know if you've seen multiple episodes of Trigun. Like, Vash did that, those eyes all the time whenever he would see something. Or Meryl, or specifically Millie, would do those eyes when she would see food or donuts or anything like that with Vash. Like, that's a very anime thing, and this just went above and beyond. And then, you know, like, the extreme faces, that became more popular with, like, I think it was One Piece started becoming a thing. They started going with more extreme faces. Same with One Punch Man was also like that. Like, the faces in One Punch Man are insane. I think if anything, you'd probably be more on par with, like, Shonen, I think that's what they're called, Shonen animes. Like, you know, you already like JoJo's. So, like, you would like more action-oriented ones. And this one has action, but I think it's more comedy than anything else.
There's a couple things that I have watched. Like, Vash, Trigun, in my opinion, I wasn't a big fan of. I like the Western aspect of Trigun, and that's what I liked about Trigun. Mm-hmm. But it's not like an anime that I love to watch. Like, I've watched it maybe one time all the way through, and it was like a long time ago. And then Case Closed, I watched a whole bunch of that. But the thing is, it's like,
and Case Closed did a lot too. And so Angel Beats did a lot too.
The thing is like, it's hard for me to find an anime like that, though. But I think what really hit this was the annoying little girl. I felt like she was annoying constantly. Like, she was constantly, like, the whole eye thing, I think, took me out of the story. And I understand, it's cutesy little anime. But that's why I'm not a huge fan of anime, you know? You know, I wasn't a fan of, what was it? I was a fan of Rurouni Kenshin, because you watched it and we watched it together. Inuyasha wasn't a fan of, you know, like a lot of people in Dragon Ball Z. I wasn't really a big fan of Dragon Ball Z, in reality. Like I knew Dragon Ball Z and we used to watch it because it was like, you know, anime. It was like one of our first animes we ever watched. Cause I remember, you know, we used to videotape it cause it'd come on at like 4 a.m. on Saturday, you know? And it was like, we had to get up. And I remember watching Hellraiser for the first time cause grandma had it on a VHS. And it got right to the part where she's about to walk through the tunnel, and then bam, it's like an someone taped over, and it was an episode of Dragon Ball Z where Goku was finally doing the spirit ball for the first time. And I was like, what happens? So I had to wait until like I got older so I could find what that movie was, and I watched it finally. I was like, oh, it's Hellraiser. But the thing is it's weird with me with anime. It's so hard for certain animes I can like some of my favorites. You know, JoJo's just there because I like the ridiculousness of JoJo. It's just stupid. I don't really care about the story. I just think it's stupid. And that's why I'm like, I laugh about it because it's just dumb. Like season 2 of JoJo is my favorite because it's ridiculous. You know, you have Nazis and, you know, Vance driving, having a gun in his chest is ridiculous. You know, and I, you know, like one of my favorite animes of all time is Psycho Pass, which you've never watched. And then what was that weird one that me and Seth watched? I think it was like called Elephant Lid. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
I like that. And then, of course, Higurashi, Where They Cry, When They Cry. I like that one too. But the thing is like, I don't seek anime out. So I totally understand why people love this anime. And I know there's a lot of people who do, because even in the trailer here, it shows how many copies were sold, you know, of the manga. So like, I'm like, people like this anime. I totally understand why people like certain anime. Just for me, not really a fan because I think the little girl annoyed me so much that I didn't want, it irked me. And even though there was some great highlights in the show, like I really enjoyed a lot of the great episodes with the old man and Eden. The other thing is too, is I don't like how characters don't question things that are unexplainable. Because the episode where Anya tells Lloyd there's a boy drowning in the pool.
Yeah.
And he goes, how can you know from all the way over here? It's like, I do. And then she just does. And then they find both the kids. Lloyd is a spy. He's supposed to be super intelligent. That should like hit him as something's very fishy about this.
The issue here, right? She didn't say there's a boy drowning in the pool. She, because in that, when she says, she's thinking, like, what would happen. Because you see her where he's like, there's a boy drowning. He's like, how would you know that? You must be telepathic.
See, and then,
it did it in a dreamlike sequence, and then it pops. And she's sitting there, she's like, I can't tell him that. Dad, I'm going to be an Olympic swimmer, and so I have to learn how to practice. And she runs off then.
Okay, so I was completely
confused. I don't think you connected those things.
I think that's what the problem I did have with the show is like trying to like figure out if it was a dream. And I totally understand they do like the framing and like the picture differently. But sometimes it's so fast that I don't understand. Like, it's more of like, also too, is I'm also trying to look at stuff at the same time. Or someone calls me, I look down, or like I text and I'm like, oh, and then I go up and I'm like, what's going on? Wait, she revealed it? She's psychic? So maybe that's what confused me. But I just feel like this anime to me was a lot of filler, and I totally understand why people love this anime. It's right up people's alley for anime. I'm just not. And that's why you make me watch shows like this. You know, you never know. Like I loved Angel Beats. I thought Angel Beats was great. Mm-hmm. What was the
that,
other?
That was one with actual story. Like it's intentional. I when I watched this, my brain went, this is sitcom. This is a sitcom. And here's the funny thing, right? My brain's like, this is a sitcom. This is obviously a sitcom. The whole setup is a sitcom. This is a Japanese sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
All my, like when you told me like you didn't like it because it felt like a lot of filler, my brain went, That's like saying that you hate Always Sunny in Philadelphia because nothing happens. I'm like, it's not the intention of the show. Mm-hmm. Like, is there a story to Always Sunny? Is there things that transfer between multiple episodes? Yes and no. Some things, like, yeah, there's overarching stuff, but it's never an arc, you know? It just happens.
I think maybe now I kind of would take it as a sitcom instead of, like, an overarching story. Because most animes we've watched, or most animes I have, there's an overarching story. It's not a sitcom style.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why I didn't like it so much, because I walked into it thinking it was, like, an anime that had an overarching story. And it leads up to that. Like, it's like, hey, you know, it's a spy trying to do his job. But it's not like every episode is episodic in a way where, like, you can just pick up an episode and watch it. And then it makes a little sense, but, there's some key things that you're missing. You could still watch it. Like, you could watch this out, like you were just talking about, where you accidentally skipped an episode and you're like, I'm fine with that. I skipped it,
came back, couldn't even tell it was out of loop. Like, I knew where it could fit. To me, it's like the same level of storytelling kind of system as, like, Star Trek or something like that. Mm. Where it's like, you watch 10 episodes of Star Trek, and the story, each episode has its self-contained story. But then in those 10 episodes, there's like 20% of it which moves on the overarching arc. Because that was the thing I'll say, is like, if you're watching this to see them complete Project Styx, you're probably going to be watching for a very long time. It's the equivalent of watching Naruto and being like, I want to watch so he can become a Hokage, and if it does not continue the story, I do not care. It's like, you are going to be skipping a lot of episodes, my man. And Naruto is meant to be like a story kind of deal thing. This show, I'm like, I see as a sitcom, and that's why I enjoy it. Because you literally have everything for a sitcom. You have the will they, won't they between the mom and the husband. You have the jealous brother, like, aka the Ross of the group, who's just kind of like, oh, I'm not really okay with you dating my girlfriend, my sister, Chandler. You have the funny duo guy, Frankie, or Fuzzyhead, or whatever Anya calls him. You have the jealous ex-girlfriend with, like, the Nightfall woman. And you have the overall arching story of, like, everything of that sort. I just looked at it, I'm like, this is obviously a sitcom. I cannot look at this and think, like, I'm not going to look at this show. And I think that's why you had the issue, is seeing 24 episodes, you probably thought it will be concluded by the end of the 24 episodes. And I watched two
episodes. It felt like One Piece.
I watched one episode and my brain instantly went, I hope this doesn't conclude after 28 episodes. Because I like the dynamic. They set it up in the first two episodes of, like, hey, here's the family, we now have to play with this facade. And I'm like, don't finish it too quickly. And they did that. They not only didn't finish it so quickly, and this is something that I do want to point out, they not only didn't finish it too quickly, they just make first contact with the guy at the end of the season. Yeah, not even it. Like, hey, here's the big dinner. Well, One Piece is extreme. That's over thousands of episodes.
Yeah.
And I never want to watch One Piece. No. We would never be able to do it on this show.
Speaking of, next week, guys,
we're going to do One Piece. No. We're going to do a thing. Boston, do you have any last things you want to say about Spy X Family, or did you get it all out?
I think I got it all out. Like, I totally understand why people like this anime, and I agree with some. There's some really great stories in here. Just, I don't think it fit for me. When part three comes out, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be a part three because how they ended it, I'm willing to watch it. Like, you know, it just like a new season, you know, I'll be like, hey, you know, it's a new season, let's watch it. Because we got some really good stuff coming up here soon. We were just talking, What Do We Do in the Shadows premieres two episodes tomorrow. And then we got, Futurama and Secret Invasion that we're planning on doing. But overall, I think this is an anime that I'm probably not going to revisit. But you never know. I might do it just to be like, maybe I should like watch it as a sitcom. But it's going to take me a while. Like, it's not going to be like this thing where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch it. So
no, I'll say it like everything else in the world, Austin, don't force it. If you didn't enjoy it all that much, don't force it. I'll just force you when season 2 comes out. because I will want to continue watching this. I greatly enjoyed it.
Part 3, that's what they're calling
it. It's part 2. It's season 2. It's season 2, part 3, because season 1 is made up of two parts. It's no different than freaking Breaking Bad or anything else in this world where they're just like, we're going to split up. But when it comes to anime, I'm a little more okay with it. Because, like, you know, production-wise, it takes time to animate everything. So instead of just pushing it all on their people for, like, do 24 episodes within 6 months and be done with, they're like, hey, do 12 episodes in 6 months, and then 12 more episodes at the end of the 6 months, and we'll move up. I appreciate that. And that's fine. You know, don't overwork the animators. Well, Austin, that basically does it for this episode of Brosen Show. I liked it. You seem not to enjoy it as much, and that's perfectly fine. Like, that happens. That can be a thing. Speaking of you liking it, and I'm not going to like it, next week, Austin, what show are we watching?
All right, so just Mahler here has completely extended to me a long time ago that he is not a fan of what he knows of this show. So this is based off of a comic book that Garth Ennis did. Garth Ennis is, like, one of the biggest comic book writers of all time. He wrote a lot of Punisher comic books, and he wrote the other famous Preacher show, the Preacher comics, and then it was turned into a TV show on AMC, which only lasts like 4 seasons. But so we are going to watch The Boys. It is based on a graphic novel that Garth Ennis did about superheroes that are realistic, and they, you know, like, what if superheroes were in a real world instead of like this world of, like, you know, superheroes are always the good guys. It's more of like superheroes would probably do terrible things too. I'm going to extend a warning to people on this. There is a lot of explicit content in the show. And I know a lot about this show and the books that they're based off of. So we're going to get a lot of knowledge probably next week. I'll get to like extend like some of the things. But I will tell you this, vulgar language, there is, like, if you watched Invincible, it's kind of like that, but it's more, it's not as extreme as the graphic novel, though. I will say that. But I think you'll like it. I think you'll like it. And there's a lot of, like, cameos you're going to see in it that you're going to laugh at, and you're going to be like, that's pretty funny. But I'm just fair warning people, this is kind of dark humor. So, yeah, that's my warning.
All right.
And I know you're not a fan of it.
It's not that I'm draining it. It's not that I'm draining it or I'm like upset about it or anything. I knew it would happen. I knew it would come. I'm perfectly cool with that. I'm like, sure, let's watch it. I'll give it my good college try. I never look at anything you recommend as like, this is exactly what I don't want to watch type deal thing. I was much more willing with Invincible.
It's
one season, 25-minute episodes. It's animation, which I'm naturally a bigger fan of animation. Yeah. And KJ Simmons does the voice of Omni-Man. And so I was like, you can't go wrong with Simmons. This, on the other hand, I have no connection to any of the characters. I have no understanding. And I know some of the themes and plots that happen. And those are things that I personally, as an individual, hate seeing. And we'll go into it. If it happens, whenever it happens in the season, I will say, like, this, I didn't like it for this reason.
Can I give you a little hype for it, though? Like, to get you, like, maybe wanting to watch it?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so some of the guest stars that are running cast members, Carlos Esposito is in this show.
I know he is, yeah.
Yeah. Simon Pegg is in this show.
Okay, yeah.
Seth Rogen.
Okay.
Carl Urban. I don't know if you know who Carl Urban is.
Name sounds familiar. Isn't he a country singer?
Carl Urban, if you've ever watched the Star Trek movies, like the newer ones, he was the Doctor.
Oh, is he from Heroes?
Dread. Is he from Heroes? I don't know if Carl is.
No, wait, no, that's Spock. That's Spock from the Star Trek.
Yeah. No, Carl Urban also played Dredd. He's been in countless superhero stuff.
Okay.
I just don't remember exactly. And then we got some people that you're going to see that, you know, you're going to start recognizing, because now they are being exposed because of this show. They're being exposed to being good actors. So I think you'll enjoy this. It is on the line of, like, there is some edge, and I'm going to say that. But I like The Boys, the storyline for The Boys. I like the environment that's happened. But we'll see. We'll see, you know. So hopefully, you know, there's probably special guests that I didn't even name that I totally forgot about, because the last season was like a year ago. So it's been a while since I watched last season. So
all right.
It's really kind of nice to be a refresher.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that. Mm-hmm. All right, Austin. That does it with this episode of Bros and Show. Austin, thank you so much for stopping by, as you always do. Yeah. And next week, we'll be watching The Boys Seasons 1. Just Season 1. There's 3. So, 3 more. Mm-hmm. So, Season 1. On this next episode. Amazon Prime. It's on Amazon Prime for the people who are listening who want to follow along. Thanks so much, everyone out there, for stopping by. And thank you all so much. Tune in.